The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is it possible to have everlasting life but not abide according to Scripture? Well, that's a great question. It's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you'll consider sending us your questions. That's because we're taking questions from listeners just like you. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, I'm so glad to be here in the office, in the studio.
I love this.
Office studio.
Nice studio. We got new lights installed.
We got new lights, and it's just great. We're going to renovate here, start doing our YouTube videos from here. If you're not watching our YouTube videos, you definitely should like and subscribe. We don't really tell people to do that enough on those videos, but you should go watch them. Look up Grace Evangelical Society there. Check out our videos and then like and subscribe. We're reaching people there. We love reaching people through these podcasts.
And we release a new video every week.
Every week.
There's always something, and you have all these nutty pictures. Recently, Sean started putting these funny pictures. He has me stand out in the hallway and make faces and things,
yeah.
And then he takes one of those pictures and sticks it in.
They're called thumbnails.
Thumbnails?
We're learning how to do this.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just you're always learning on this job. I mean,
good.
3 years ago, we weren't doing any of this stuff.
And now we have thumbnails.
And we're going to be redesigning our logo soon.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to try to revamp everything. And this is all because of you guys, because of your support, your encouragement, your encouraging letters. Just about every day, I receive several emails from people saying, man, we listen to you guys, we read your blog every day, and I'm just totally humbled by that.
And it's also convicting in the sense that, you know, we need to watch everything we say.
We need
to be careful because we want to say what is accurate to the Word of God.
Yeah. So, well, here's a challenge then.
Okay.
Here's a question from Brian, and it's about 2 John. He says, here John says, if a person does not abide in the teaching that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, then that person does not have God. And his question is, if a person does not have God, how can he have eternal life?
That's a good question. And let's see the verse he's talking about. Of course, there are similar verses in 3 John and 1 John also.
So verses 7 and 9.
So why don't you read 2 John 7, 8, and 9.
For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So it sounds like these guys are denying
right.
the bodily incarnation, that Jesus became a real human being.
Right.
There was like heresies that would say that Jesus just came as a ghost who appeared as a human being, but he wasn't really flesh and blood. And this might be kind of like a early form of that.
Right. And Hodges, in his commentary on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, he thinks that this is probably a catch-all thing,
okay.
which could include Docetists who believe Jesus just seemed to be a man,
mm-hmm.
or those who said that the Christ came on Jesus at his baptism and left him at the cross, or various other heresies that took place in the early church.
Verse 8, look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we worked for, but that we may receive a full reward.
Now, here is a warning of drifting. The readers could drift.
Yeah.
And if so, John and the other people who have ministered with him to this group of believers would lose out on the fullness of reward they should receive
yes.
because these people have not held fast to the truth.
Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son.
Okay, so Brian, can you see how verse 9 is related to verse 8? In verse 8, he's telling them to look to themselves so that they do not fail to abide in the doctrine of Christ. If they do that, verse 9, they will not have God. That does not mean that they will not be born again. It does not mean that they will not have everlasting life. What it means is they will not be someone who is pleasing God in their experience. And Hodges, in his commentary, points out that this is a rather odd expression in English, to have God. I mean, we don't find that in other books of the New Testament.
Okay.
Certainly don't find it in the Gospels. The point would be to have God would be someone who is pleasing him and God is behind his efforts. But notice the second half. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. What that means is they have the Father and Son on their side. They have the support of the Father and the Son. It's not saying that, look, if you as believers fail to look to yourselves, verse 8, then you're going to lose everlasting life. What you're going to lose is the support of God the Father and God the Son. You're no longer going to be in them in your experience. You're no longer going to have them in your experience.
Have them in your experience. Okay, so what does that mean exactly? I mean, what's the difference between having God in your experience and not having him in your experience?
Well, it seems to me this is abiding truth. If I abide in him, then he abides in me.
Yeah.
If I don't abide in him, then he doesn't abide in me. So if I am abiding in him, then I have him.
But what difference? Let's say on Monday you're abiding, but on Tuesday you're not abiding. Is it a feeling that you lose, or is it?
No.
What is it?
It's not a feeling.
It's an experience of some sort, you're saying.
And the other thing, well, yes, but it seems to me what it is God's support. It's God's strengthening me.
Okay.
God being behind my endeavors.
Okay.
And I don't view it quite like what you just said. Yes, you could on Monday be abiding and Tuesday not abiding. But the way I view it is to go from abiding to not abiding. We've talked about this before. It's not the light switch, it's the dimmer switch.
Yeah.
If you're abiding in Christ, you're going to continue to abide in Christ until at some point you drift. And the drifting typically does not take place in a moment. It takes place over the course of days or weeks or months. So a person stops going to church. Well, that doesn't immediately mean that they're not confessing their sins, they're not walking in the light of God's word. I had COVID back in May, and I didn't go to church or even watch on Zoom for a few weeks because I was pretty sick.
Yeah, yeah.
That didn't mean I wasn't abiding. And yet, at some point, if you cease going to church, you're probably going to stop abiding. Now, we've had Lone Ranger questions before.
Right.
And I realize a person could abide without even going to church if they're getting that input through other things. But hopefully people are in local churches because that's what the scriptures tell us to do, Hebrews 10:23-25.
Yeah.
Anyway, having God would be to have him in our experience. And you could pull Hodges off the shelf there behind you and read how he explains this. I think he has a nice way of doing that.
Here's what Zane Hodges says in his commentary, The Epistles of John. He says, 1 John 5:12 is the only place in the Johannine literature where the expression is used in connection with eternal salvation. And he says, context must therefore dictate our understanding of the statements in this verse about not having or having God. And he says, the person who does not abide in true doctrine about Jesus Christ does not have God with him in his new perspective and or lifestyle. More bluntly, he's out of touch with God, while he who abides in the doctrine of Christ is vitally in touch with God, and this person has both the Father and the Son. To be noted is the use of John's characteristic word for the experience of the disciple, namely the idea of abiding. John is not talking here about mere creedal adherence to the doctrine of Christ, but about staying there in the sense of living in this truth.
I think, Sean, this also illustrates an important truth. If the terms used in the Greek New Testament are vague to the Greek reader, then our English translation should be equally vague to the English reader.
Right.
If does not have God is an accurate translation of the Greek, and it is, then we should leave it equally fuzzy in our translation rather than try to give some type of interpretation for the reader. Now, Hodges is interpreting it for you there when he says to be in touch with and to be in fellowship with and to be abiding. I like the way he discusses it, but even his explanation is probably close to as vague as to have God.
Yeah, he's just using one vague term and using a different vague term. You know, instead of saying have God, he's saying, well, it's like being in touch with God. Well, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, that's also vague.
Right.
So sometimes you just have to leave it vague, right?
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. So, Brian, did we answer your question? No, well, kind of, but we gave you an option. The option is having God isn't clear in any way. So, you know, you have to just kind of struggle with that. Doesn't necessarily mean you totally lack God.
Yeah, it doesn't mean you're lacking everlasting life because the readers have everlasting life, but
Unless having is really vague. If having God is vague, maybe have everlasting life is vague.
Well, of course, this brings up another issue we probably don't want to go to. But in John's gospel, Jesus is called everlasting life. So in a sense, as he ends verse 9, has both the Father and the Son. Well, even having everlasting life in that verse would be more being in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than simply saying, I'm born again. There's no question the readers are born again and they have everlasting life in a positional sense. Yeah. But do I have everlasting life in my experience? Well, that depends if I'm abiding in him.
Yeah.
Because he is everlasting life.
And how does a person abide in it? Just for people who are approaching this term for the first time, how does a person abide
well,
in him?
This is John 13 through 15 and also 1 John. And the basic sense of abiding is that I am constantly immersed in his word.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like a tea bag that's immersed in the hot water, and the tea is infusing into the water. As Jesus' word is in me, then his word is being infused into my soul and spirit. And so as God's word becomes part of my worldview, I'm transformed, right? Romans 12:2.
Yeah.
And so basically, if God's word is in me, then Jesus is abiding in me and I'm abiding in him. So it's really all about the word of God. And look at the parable of the four soils in Luke 8:11-15 is the interpretation. There, it's all about the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And are we abiding in the word of God? Is the word of God abiding in us?
Yeah. All right. Very good, Bob. Thanks a lot for the question, Brian. And you guys might want to check out that commentary by Zane Hodges. It's called The Epistles of John, Walking in the Light of God's Love. You can find it at our website. And I believe we're just about to run out of copies of this, at which point we will reprint it as part of a new series of New Testament commentaries that we're doing.
And I think we have a free ebook on 1 John, don't we?
We probably have the shortened version as a free ebook on our website. There's a bunch of free ebooks.
Check it out
at faithalone.org. Thanks for your questions.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about women in teaching ministry, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.